Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. Joining us in-house is Chef Kurt Hicken, product specialist from Peninsula Food Service, who has prepared two stunning dishes using Creekstone Farms Wagyu fillets. And for those who may not know, we photograph and film each dish to showcase the incredible culinary creations of our guest chefs. Follow along on Instagram at Walk and Talk Show. Our featured guest today is Clint Scroggs, a dedicated team owner competing in the incredible Hogs for the Cause cooking competition. This event isn't just for cooking. It's about making a difference in the lives of children battling brain cancer. Clint's team has been part of this heartwarming journey for a decade, showcasing not just culinary skills, but a commitment to community and compassion. With around 90 teams competing at the U of O Lakefront Arena, they draw in crowds of 30 to 40,000 attendees, all united for a common cause. Last year alone, the competition raised close to $4 million. Clint's team brings a unique twist to their dead pork theme, inspired by pop culture icons like Deadpool and Taylor Swift. What's that about? Today, we'll dive into the challenges and victories faced by Clint and his team, from the exhilarating highs of culinary creativity to the emotional stories that drive their mission. But first, Kurt, welcome to the show, and let's get into those delectable Wagyu fillets. Those dishes were fire, dude.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Creekstone line just came out with a new Wagyu product about 2 weeks ago. And just now getting introduced, it's just an amazing item. As far as an American Wagyu, it's, I believe, the only American Wagyu that's halal. Marble score is up to an 8-9, so right up there with Japanese Wagyu and Kobe product. Just an incredible product.
What about the dishes?
We did a steak tartare, which was with the filet mignon. And we did a seared filet mignon with a little wasabi caviar and shaved truffle mushroom mashed potato.
Where'd you come up with the idea for this?
Driving down the road.
Kurt, those dishes were fire, man. Tell me about it. What was the tartare about?
Started with the Creekstone Wagyu Platinum, which is the highest level Wagyu that Creekstone has. Marble score 8-9. Made it with a Worcestershire cured egg and a little bit of Dijon mustard and Tabasco to kind of keep that red color. One big trick, I always want to make sure you keep the meat very cold. And then put the crostini right at the bottom of the ring mold. So rather than having the crostini or the chips or something sit on the side as part of every bite.
When we got into the other dish, you made something really interesting. And I guess it's common in, more elevated chefs or whatever, but talk about what you did with the pearls.
It's like they call them pearls or they'll call them caviar. And you can make it with fruit juice or red wine or balsamic, as we did today. And so you take balsamic and you heat it up to a boil and you add agar-agar, which is a non-animal-based, vegan-friendly gelatin, essentially. And you heat that up to a boil, remove from the heat. But you have to have olive oil that you put in the freezer for about 30 minutes prior to that. Then you drop the balsamic into the olive oil cold, and by the time it hits the bottom of the glass, it forms a little caviar pearl. And then you just run it through a strainer, and like I said, you can do that with almost any liquid.
Kurt, you have a lot of experience. You're doing food service sales right now for yes. Peninsula. You're yes. doing proteins. But you're a pretty accomplished chef. Real quickly, for those who don't know who you are, where do you come from?
Originally from Illinois. Started work in St. Louis, but then moved to New Orleans. Worked with some of the best chefs in New Orleans. Then left there, went to culinary school in CIA in Napa. Worked with Houston's restaurant all across the country. And then back and forth to New Orleans many times. And then out of the country into Anguilla and Bermuda and Ecuador, and had a chance to learn many different types of food from different regions. And so it's been an interesting life. I don't realize how much I learned from people that I worked with. You know, I was lucky to work with some great chefs in my time and just great people. And it's nice to be back doing food again. I kind of miss it a little bit, but I don't miss all the headaches that come along with it. So,
well, yeah, at least this gives you a little bit of a creative outlet.
It's the best of both worlds.
How you digging being on the street, though?
You know, it's nice. I'm off on the weekends. I'm off on holidays. I haven't had a Mother's Day off in 31 years, man. It's kind of crazy.
It's a whole different. Yeah, a lot of people will say that you went to the dark side. You know, in the industry, that is what your chef brethren would say to you. And what do you say to them now?
You just never would expect to be able to live your life. You know, how many, and my kids, my older kids, I missed out on so much of their growing up. And now I've got a new little boy and I don't miss anything. And I'm there with him every night. I go to all his soccer and it's a whole different world. And so I love it. I still get to be involved with food. Talk to the chefs that I sell to about food, which I think brings a lot to the table for me and them. And then I don't have any of the headaches. I don't care about who calls off for work today. Not my problem.
All right. Let's get Clint on the phone. We spoke the other day. How are you doing? I'm glad you got to cut some time out to come on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure, and always happy and excited to talk about Ogs and the good work that whole organization does for such a good cause, supporting, you know, the families and patients that need it most.
So before we get into this, let's talk a little bit about where you're from, because you did some back of the house work in your time, but you more gravitate towards front. You kind of got into this in a different kind of way. Talk about it.
So really just came, you know, worked in restaurants, paying for college, you know, after undergrad, got out of the industry altogether. And then it wasn't until, you know, like was always a pretty good home cook. You know, grew up in New Orleans, so, you know, I've got that gene of like, I can, you know, I can get down a little bit. And then in 2016, I started my own team for Hogs for the Cause. And then it's been a decade since. And just through, you know, continual efforts and kind of, and also, you know, backgrounds and coming up through the restaurant industry here in New Orleans, you know, I always say like a lot of us met working for John Besh at August. So we kind of got to cut our teeth through there and really understand the theory that he took towards food, his approaches. You know, I'll kind of joke like, hey, I got the John Besh gene in me where, you know, there's 14, 15 ingredients and everything. So yeah, a very avant-garde approach to, you know, traditionally going to like CIA or something like that.
What was your motivation for getting involved with Hogs for the Cause?
It started out year one, Renee and Becker, you know, just two dudes in a tent fundraising for one of their friends who their child had brain cancer. So for years, it was the Ben Surratt Hogs for the Cause cook-off. And in year three, they moved it over to City Park. And, you know, at that point, it had become a thing in New Orleans where everybody said, wow, they got a new festival going. It's for a good cause. It's all barbecue. And there was nothing like that down here. So attended as a guest year three. And then in year four, a friend that I used to work with in the restaurant industry had a team. So I was a volunteer on his team for a few years. And then after I got done with grad school, one of my buddies and I said, you know what? We want to go ahead and start our own team, really flex our muscles.
So you've got 90 teams competing. That's a huge competition. What was the process with coming up with dead pork as your theme?
You know, when you see it in writing, everybody's like, wow, dead pork, that doesn't pass muster. But then when you see the logo, everybody's like, I get it. So my buddy Justin and I actually started the team. We were both prior Army. So we were originally Band of Hogs, like Band of Brothers. And then after watching Dead Pork in theaters, one of my buddies and I just had like an epiphany of, you know, Ryan Reynolds, like that same sense of humor, very tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic. He was like, dude, that's you. And then I was just driving home from the theater and thought how we can incorporate, you know, some kind of swine-based thing into that. And Dead Pork was born. And just, again, I think it kind of fits our approach to everything. We tend to zig when others zag. You know, all of our dishes on our, you know, on our competition menus have pun-based names or just, you know, very tongue-in-cheek with everything. And then it also has the added benefit of it's from a logo perspective, it just pops. You know, we don't have to have signage with all kinds of stuff. I mean, just a simple logo on a t-shirt and everybody knows exactly who we are. And then, you know, like we actually have a pretty good merchandise program. They come to us every year for shirts, hats, et cetera, and we just direct them to our website so we don't have to incur that inventory cost. So yeah, Dead Pork has been really a great brand and really helped us just differentiate ourselves in a sea of teams.
Well, here's a little nugget. Ryan Reynolds, when he played in Waiting, that was based off of Bennigan's. And allegedly, the Bennigan's that that movie was based off of was the Bennigan's that I, in fact, worked at in Hollywood, Florida, down on Sheridan Street. The movie's incredibly accurate. I'm just going to leave it there. But the movie is stupidly accurate. I don't want to get into Bennigan's stories. All right, Dead Pork. I mean, you guys are killing it. The name is great, Dead Pork. I love it. You're competing out there against a lot of teams. What does Dead Pork do differently to stand out?
Good question. We're kind of known for being like the habitual line steppers. Like I always joke with the founders, like there's going to be a Dead Pork rule, you know, someday. So obviously branding plays a big, you know, a big, big part there. And then just, you know, we started doing goofy stuff, you know, like just poking the bear. So putting our signage on the front gate where everybody walks in, everybody sees our signage. You know, we kind of infiltrated the production aspect of it and put our signage on the sound tent. You know, also like infiltrated some of those folks. And whenever our name is called or we get a stage call, all the lights go off and it's all just red. So, you know, just trying to have fun about it. You know, one of our guys is in a Deadpool costume with a snout, with a megaphone, and, you know, usually his phone going with something and just borderline harassing attendees and guests, you know, just trying to get them into our booth. And then, you know, that's also a big part of the social media presence. And then, you know, like year one, taking inspiration from just being so tongue in cheek, everything, you know, has a funny name, is pun based. You know, we brought our ribs back this year and it's always ribs for her pleasure. So, you know, just try to differentiate ourselves. There's a lot of really good teams out there that probably put out better food than us. So we've got to, you know, got to stay competitive somehow.
How are you balancing this with your actual professional life? You're not in the actual food business per se.
No. I always joke, like, I get to play restaurant. You guys have to do restaurant. Fortunately, we've gotten pretty good at it over the last 10 years or so. But invariably, you know, my job is 50, 60 hours a week. So it's a lot of midnight oil being burned. Luckily for, you know, Hogs is our largest event by far. We do dinner parties quarterly. So, you know, for a week or so, once a quarter, I'm doing, you know, work until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning every day. And then for about 2 months prior to Hogs is when we really start to ramp up. Hogs is in 2 weeks. So, you know, I'm going to get off my job today, go pick up kids, play dad for a couple hours. And then once they go to bed, I'm going to go right back to my office and start, you know, game planning and going through to-do list and packing list, et cetera. So, you know, there's a little bit of kung fu to knowing how to do it. And just, you know, I have a whole shed full of stuff and go in there and say, all right, it's probably going to be most of all this stuff. And then just getting better about it with experience. I'll tell you, it is one of the most cathartic and best feelings in the world, because load in and load out at the plot is always, you know, it's 90 teams. You got hundreds of cars and, you know, plots that are way bigger and more complex than ours. you know, we usually load out on Thursday, and then Friday we put up our storefront. Before awards are done on Saturday, we are completely broken down and everything is in the trailer. Like, I've had other teams come up to me and say, like, dude, how did you do that? Because that Sunday breakdown is the absolute worst. You know, so to your question of, like, how do you balance the, you know, full-time job versus the nonprofit, getting better and more efficient at it has helped out a whole lot.
The cooking, I don't even know if that's the hardest part. I mean, setting up and breaking down is terrible. We all know that. That's a crap show. But what about the sponsorships? You got to go out there and hustle up the money for these kids. How are you handling that?
I am perhaps the worst nonprofit CEO on the planet. You know, I'm not usually the, hey, can I have a dollar type person, but it does cause you to, you know, knowing what cause we're supporting and what we're doing, it does, you know, kind of, it inspires you to seek partnership and not just ask for a dollar, but hey, let's work together. So we definitely couldn't do it without our partners. Conseco's groceries down here, like, they pretty much bankroll us. They donate the food for Hogs itself, which, again, you know, worst nonprofit CEO ever. I'm always like, hey, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And they're always like, dude, stop making it a thing. So huge thank you to them. Vino is where we're doing our dinner parties now. We just got those going again and we're beyond excited. And then some of the other ones, you know, Crescent City Meats, American Seafood, all those guys. Like, we just could not do it without it.
Just a quick shout out to Jerry over at Crescent City Meats. Absolutely. Good dude.
Pooch made the connection and they donated a brisket and then they infused it for a bulgogi preparation that we did for our last dinner party. And just, you know, completely wowed with that generosity with somebody I've never even met. So, but yeah, I mean, that kind of generosity, it helps us keep our costs down when we do events, which in turn just means more money going towards kids with cancer. You know, and then there's just some of our other stuff, like a couple of our guys are in the wine industry. So they always get to, you know, pull a couple tasters and we get to use those for dinner parties. You know, also, like, Hogs has some partnerships that we get to have fun with too. Their official beer sponsor is the Miller High Life Pony. So a 7-ounce glass bottle. And they are, like, the number one driver of Miller High Life ponies in the country. So, you know, just appreciate all the partners that we have, always looking for some new ones. It's the best part of it is getting to work with, you know, just great people, do something fun and do something cool. So if anybody wants to partner up, we're here. Our website is deadpork.org. Or you can just reach out to us directly on Instagram. Those DMs are always open, and we have a team that checks our Instagram every day.
You were talking about dinner parties earlier. I understand that you just did a Wu-Tang-themed dinner party a week or so ago. What was that about?
That dinner party has grown and evolved. We were doing that at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, and the first one was just almost like a proof of concept. Like, if I had to grade myself, it was like an 85 out of 100. You know, just purely a different way of fundraising versus a pop-up where you know, it's uncertain from a profitability perspective. So pulling from restaurants, I was like, hey, I'm going to do a 5-course prefix tasting menu. We partnered up with La Crema and Kendall Jackson and, you know, just like pulled people in. And it was more a proof of concept to not only Southern Food and Beverage, but also, you know, internally with the team, everybody's like, dude, you don't have the gusto to pull this off. And we did, you know, just through sheerly, like, everybody get on my back and we're going to make this damn thing work. So it's evolved. The first one, you know, being introspective coming out of it, I was like, I feel like we just didn't have a voice. It was good food. It was a good cause, but it wasn't, you know, it just didn't have a real sense of what we were trying to do. And then, you know, it got me thinking, when you do restaurant, your menu and your ambiance and, you know, your whole setup, like, kind of has a voice in what you're trying to relay to guests. So being introspective, I was like, hey, why don't we have a little bit more like a theme? And then that theme can help us create that voice. So all that's to say, over the number of dinner parties that we've done, last time was Wu-Tang, just because I was like, hey, the group me for our team is actually Wu-Tang 36 members, like 36 members on the team. And then just doing fun stuff that we really enjoy. So we've done a yacht rock based one where it's just, you know, like, I wore a gravat and boat shoes in a kitchen. You know, we've done like 90s theme. What are some of the other ones we did? We did Mad Men, which was fun. Unfortunately, everybody got annihilated because it was like Death Martinis. So yeah, we have one coming up in June. That'll be just a pride celebration. And then I'm kind of thinking maybe sometime in the fall. I don't know the exact date, but that one's probably going to be Outcast. You know, you got to do fish and grits and some other stuff. But Wu-Tang was fun because we got to do just a real, like, Asian-based kind of menu. And then, you know, same thing with our competition food. All of our menu items have really, really fun pun-based names. And we get the channel just, you know, flex that creativity. It kind of gives us a direction to go towards.
Well, I came to bring the pain hardcore to your brain. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Our entree course was, if you want beef, then bring the ruckus.
There you go. You got to protect your neck. You know what I mean? Clint, you've been doing this now for a decade. The cause itself is terrific in terms of Hogs for the Cause and what they're doing. Obviously, you're talking about children and, you know, children with disease. It's a hard one. This must be rewarding on multiple levels. You must have met amazing children, amazing families along your journey so far.
They always do. So the Friday of Hogs, Hogs is Friday night and then all day Saturday. And then Friday afternoon, there's a captain's meeting where they run through, you know, just rules of the road. Here's competition, here's et cetera. And then one thing they always do is bring out a family that's been, you know, impacted by pediatric brain cancer. And then that family, you know, comes and talks about, hey, here's how Hogs has helped us through this journey. And, you know, if you want to go in a tent and see a bunch of, like, you know, fat bearded dudes crying their eyes out, that's where to do it. But, you know, it's just, it pulls at everybody's heartstrings. When I started the team in 2016, I didn't have kids. It wasn't until my daughter just turned 5. And it wasn't until she was probably like a year old where it really kind of hit. Like, what if that was my child? So, you know, I mean, it absolutely makes it all worth it. All the, you know, the gray hairs and countless hours after the kids go to bed and, you know, weekends missed because we're off fundraising or doing something else. You know, all the dad points are going to call in to make sure the wife can watch the 3 kids. But it just makes it so much, you know, so worth it. I actually talked to Zandy, the CFO from Hogs, before this, just for some quick facts. And they've done 13 million to families in these, I think, 17 years that they've been doing this. So, and that covers everything that's just not included by insurance, you know, travel, hotels, meals, you name it. Last year, we actually hit $4+ million in fundraising. This year, the goal is 5. They're actually in the process of building what's called a Hogs House. So effectively think of it as, a house with a whole bunch of, almost like a mini hotel. They're in St. Petersburg, Florida. They have 2 existing, one in Baton Rouge, one in New Orleans. They estimate roughly $3 million in cost savings passed on to families who would have to travel in for treatment for their kids by building these Hogs houses. So, you know, just a great cause. And, you know, my buddy Mike and I were fortunate enough to attend a grant presentation to a single mom and her child with brain cancer. And just, you know, seeing her like well up, knowing that, you know, she didn't have to worry about paying her mortgage that month. So just, you know, the social worker team that Hogs has brings them grant opportunities. And then it's a question of, you know, knowing where they can make the most impact to patients and their families. So yeah, it's always a, you know, it tugs at your heart, but man, is it ever worth it.
That sounds so amazing.
You know, Clint, it's really an interesting story. And I love to hear that somebody's doing something with kids. You know, I'm a dad myself, and it's awesome to hear somebody takes a jump into a field like that. Now, do you guys only help the kids in the New Orleans area or Louisiana, or is this a nationwide thing? How does it work with you?
Nationwide. That's a great question. So, yeah, they've done grants to every single state in the country. Wow. There is a network of social workers that brings opportunities to Renee and Becker and the Hogs team. And then they go through that vetting. You know, obviously it's a year-round thing for them. You know, Becker, their CEO, is a full-time employee there. So just, you know, kudos to them on how they operationalized it. Again, it was 2 dudes in a tent at the fly behind the Audubon Zoo doing one whole hog to raise money for Ben Sarah Jr.
Do you have like a success story, somebody that touched you and you became involved in their healing process or therapy?
Not per se. I'd say, you know, my most intimate experience was that opportunity where I got to meet a mom and her child. Actually saw them at Hogs probably 2 years ago, and they remembered me. And, you know, now that little boy is, you know, now like a 200-pound, he's got to be 15, 16 years old now. Like, I'm pretty sure he could throw me over the tent. But, you know, it is seeing the parents and families who come out every year, even just 2 Hogs, and, you know, they won't remember my face because I'm in a sea of guys out there. But every one of us knows who those, you know, those parents, those patients are, you know, especially when they say, like, my kid is here because of the work you did. you know, everybody gets immediately dialed in with that family.
A sea of bearded fat dudes. I would fit right in with all of that. You said it earlier. I need to be part of this somehow. Kurt, I mean, that's a great question. The fact that, you know, is it a regional thing in Louisiana? It is nationwide. And I would urge everyone to kind of just jump in and help. If you can, if you have the means, you should just jump in and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. If, you know, anybody who isn't fortunate enough to make the trip to New Orleans for the 2-day festival, you can donate directly on their website, hogsforthecause.org/donate. Or if you want to support us directly, you know, we can go deadpork.org/donate.
Now, Clint, besides the donation financially, are you able to donate your time? Could another chef come there from another region and help and be part of the cause in physical nature?
100%. We have the team that was next to us last year. It was Tori McPhail and some, you know, very, very good chefs, you know, James Beard award-winning chefs who have since moved away from New Orleans and they come back and volunteer their time. So if there's anybody listening who would love to get down with us or even, you know, any other team, reach out. We would love to work with you guys.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you about that in the future. I've, like I said, lived in New Orleans 7 times. I have a strong tie to the community, and I would love to be a part of this.
Kurt, if you're serious about going next year, Walk and Talk will sponsor you to go.
I'd love to. I think it'd be an amazing thing to be part of. Interesting. And of course, I always love to be in that region anyway. So yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to be with Dead Pork.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you more about what I can bring to the table.
Clint, what was the story with Taylor Swift?
We've done the only competition barbecue menu based on Taylor Swift in history. It was one of those, again, we zig when others zag. Taylor Swift was all the rage and, you know, kind of embracing the whole dinner party theme of we want to go with something that's a little bit different. You know, we want to have like a theme. And she was all the rage. So we decided to do Dead Pork, the Eras Tour, rebranded like our whole thing for, you know, the better part of a year. All of our dishes were like based on her songs. I am not a huge Swiftie, but my Spotify Wrapped last year would argue otherwise just because it was so much like R&D. But we did all of our branding, all of our promotions, you name it. Anybody listening, like go to our Instagram. One of the pinned posts is the menu reveal from last year that probably took me 1,000 hours or something. But just, you know, I wanted to have fun with it. And it was actually kind of fun. There were very few people who like rolled their eyes and said, ugh. But the number of people who came out and supported us and, you know, like the little friendship bracelets, which are a thing, you know, just random people walking up saying like, I saw your Instagram a week ago. I bought tickets to come to Hogs so I could give you this friendship bracelet and come support you guys. So yeah, it was, you know, a one-time thing, but I'm glad we did it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a 9-year-old daughter and it's Taylor Swift day and night in my house. It's I've had enough actually. Listen, yeah. Clint, I sincerely appreciate you being on the program today. Can you put out your Instagram again, please?
Yeah, Instagram is at deadpork.org, DOTORG. And then our website is deadpork.org as well.
Excellent. And you and I are going to talk more, and I want to be involved in the whole Hogs thing. John, as always, what you did today with the photography, you make Kurt look good. I'm just saying.
Amen.
Amen to that. But seriously, Kurt, man, you're always hitting home runs here. You know, like this is going to be a monthly thing for you. I'm just saying.
He's going to move closer. That's all.
Yeah. Move closer to the mic. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying here the whole stinking time. How do we find you, Kurt? Real quick.
Don't. I don't know.
I'm going to put your, I am leaving this in. I am not cutting this out, Kurt. You're stuck with that. I will put in your Instagram on our site. Hey, we are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, Many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.